passage that we heard from the letter to the Hebrews is part of a long chapter about people of faith in Jewish history, as recorded in the Old Testament. In fact, if we say the Old Testament is the history of the Jewish people, we are not doing it justice. It is the faith history of the Jewish people. So why does the writer of this letter feel the need to work through history with all these stories of people of faith? And all that they did by faith. Well, if you read the previous chapter, you will find that the Jewish Christians he was writing to were in a time of crisis. He points out that in earlier days, when they first received the light, that is, when they received the good news of the gospel, they faced persecution and suffering. They saw others imprisoned for their faith. They had their property confiscated. And if suffering seemed to be passing them by, they chose to stand up and be counted, to stand side by side with those who were being persecuted. By the time the letter was written, some years had passed, but they were still being persecuted. Perhaps they had expected it would only be a short time before suffering and persecution would end when Christ returned in glory. Certainly there were some in New Testament times who expected that. But the suffering went on. The persecution went on. And they were feeling the strain. It began to seem worthwhile to do anything that would relieve the pressure, even to abandon their faith. They needed encouragement, and they needed hope. So here, he wrote, is the full history of your ancestors. People who trusted God's promises, even if in many cases they didn't see them fulfilled. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. They didn't see the Israelites receiving their inheritance of the promised land. That only came after their deaths. But they still had faith in God's promises. And this continued right down to the time between the Old and New Testaments, the time of the Maccabees, when Jews were tortured and killed for holding to their faith. The great cloud of witnesses that the writer to the Hebrews described. These, he said, are the great ones who held the faith in the past. These are the ones who passed it on to you. Think about them. Think about their faith. And when you do that, how can you not stand up for your faith? And he goes on to say, don't forget those who passed on the faith to you. They had faith in Jesus. And Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. So this is not only relevant to the Jewish Christians who were having a hard time nearly 2,000 years ago. There has always been pressure on those who have tried to stand up for their faith. And if sometimes we find the going tough, we aren't the first. And we shan't be the last. We too are in that great tradition of faith. At the time when the early church was deciding which writings should be included in the canon of Scripture, there was a lot of argument about the letter to the Hebrews. Some claimed it was one of Paul's letters, though it doesn't say so. And its position in the New Testament shows that this was not the final conclusion, but it was included as having the authority of Scripture. And this is important because it brings all Christians, whether Jews or Gentiles, into the tradition of faith. Faith running from Abel to Abraham to Moses to David and beyond. The presence of the letter to the Hebrews in Christian scripture says that this tradition of faith is not just a Jewish tradition, it is our tradition as Christians. And if we are in that tradition, if we are links in that still continuing chain, what does that imply for us? Well, it must imply that the life of faith continues. And as we heard in the passage from Luke, that must affect our daily lives. Last week's set reading was the parable of the rich fool. The man whose barns were full to overflowing, and his reaction to this was to pull them down and build even bigger barns to store yet more wealth. Sounds like a story of long ago and far away. There was a news story not so very long ago that Cobham ranked second outside London for the number of £1 million houses. And every now and then there are stories of celebrities buying large, expensive houses only to pull them down and build larger ones. They need larger indoor swimming pools. They need more garages for their cars, and so on. And at the same time, the Cobham Food Bank is facing increasing demand from people who are struggling just to feed their families. We've often been told that if only we shared what we've got, there's enough food to feed everybody worldwide. And it's coming home to us that the same is true, certainly, in our own communities. If we are truly in that tradition of people of faith, then this will show in our attitude to wealth, to possessions. When John Wesley was a young man at Oxford, we're told that his annual income was £30. Of this, he lived on £28 and gave the other £2 to those in need. When he was older, his income had doubled or even trebled. He still lived on £28 and gave the rest away. As Jesus said in the words we heard from Luke's Gospel, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The key is to remember that however much or however little we possess, it all comes from God. We are not the owners, we are the stewards. We have it on trust to look after for the time being. Think about the difference in your attitude to something valuable that you own and something you're looking after for a special friend. If all we have is from God, and we're looking after it for Him, we can no longer say it's mine to do what I like with, but rather I'm looking after it for a special friend. What a difference that can make in our attitude to our possessions. The Gospels don't say that wealth is bad. Jesus mixed with the rich as well as with the poor. Certainly more often with the poor, but then there were more of them. It's not wealth that is bad, but that there is good and bad stewardship. And the greater the wealth, the more the responsibility. The question is, for a Christian, not how much have you got in the bank, or in stocks and shares, or in property, but how rich are you towards God? Where is your treasure? It's often said that however much you've got in this world, you can't take it with you. But there is something that you can take with you, and that's a relationship with God in Christ Jesus. And this makes us unbelievably rich towards God, richer than we can ever be by our own efforts or by our own good deeds. Because this is wealth that comes from His good deeds on our behalf, from His death on the cross for us, from His resurrection for us, from His everlasting presence with us. The words we heard from Luke begin with something that Jesus said many times. Don't be afraid. For His disciples, the future must have seemed very uncertain and very dark, as it sometimes does for us. But as long as we are with Him, as long as we have faith in Him, there is no need to be afraid. He offers each of us a richness of life, and if we keep our eyes on Him, everything else falls into place. And we too become part of that long faith tradition, part of that great cloud of witnesses, witnesses to Him and to the effect that faith in Him has in changing lives. And may we too hear Him say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Amen.